Tim Lywicki. Tim, welcome to Tim and Sid. How are you doing today?
Am I the Tim of Tim and Sid, Sid?
You are. Oh, you're good. You are officially.
All right.
You are officially the Tim today. McAuliffe under the weather.
And this is my chance to take his job?
You can take my job if you want it.
You don't want my job.
I kind of do, actually. You seem like you have a nice gig. All right, speaking of the job you did, was there ever a moment over the last 2 weeks to 10 days where you thought you weren't going to get them?
Yes.
When was that?
Every day. when you're chasing, I will give our owners credit. We set our sights at the highest level. And it was funny, I know a lot of people were bantering about Phil Jackson, but the reality is Phil's probably not going too far from his fiance, Jeannie Buss. So we knew he wasn't leaving Southern California, but he gave us a lot of good advice. I think Masai was the number one guy on our list, but we understood as the new NBA executive of the year, the chances of prying him away from Denver were not great. And we knew that they had a great season. They had won 57 games. He was well-respected, very close to Josh Kroenke, the president and son of the owner. So we knew that every day that we were battling and that we were trying to pull off a bit of an upset. But I think when Masai and I finally sat down and spent an entire day together, at the end of that day, I began to believe we're going to get him.
Word leaked out, Tim, Friday around 5:30. That was the first reports on Twitter that popped up. When were you informed? When did he call you exactly?
I'm learning here that that some of the media, some of the social sites get ahead of us. I know that's amazing, but we weren't really done for a while. We had a good visit about a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago, about 10 days ago. And then he had to go back to Denver, and they were in the middle of naming Patrick Waugh as their new coach, so that Josh had a lot on his plate. Josh and I agreed that we would be patient and allow him to get through the process he needed to get through. So by the time it started leaking, I will acknowledge that we had a handshake and an understanding for a couple of days, but we were just trying to get through the paperwork and trying to get the contract done. So, again, if you look at our process where we started this about a month ago, we did an analyzation of this organization by going out and speaking to key people in the NBA. Then once we reached the conclusion of what we needed to do here, we went out and spoke to a half dozen candidates, as well as going back out to the people in the NBA to ask them who they thought would be the best candidate possible. And by the time we turned our attention to Masai and got him done, it only took about a week.
Tim, this is not the first time this organization has gone down the road of looking at an executive of the year and hoping everything would change. Why is this time different?
Well, I guess what I like to compare it to is the last GM I hired, the last two GMs I hired. One was my friend Dean Lombardi in Los Angeles, and we won the Stanley Cup. And the other was Bruce Arena, and we won back-to-back championships with the MLS Galaxy. So I will give everyone the right to bring up the previous experience here. If I get the right to bring up, the last two GMs that I hired ended up winning championships. So I'm hoping it follows my pattern, not yours.
That was the executive equivalent of dropping the mic, Tim. I think that's what you just did. Tim Lywicki here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right. Before we move on, Tim, I have to ask about Brian and his mood today. And listen, you can say everything under the sun about the current situation and the way the basketball side is structured. I have to believe privately this is a disappointing day for Brian Colangelo.
I think publicly we should acknowledge that anybody that ultimately takes pride in what they do, anybody that ultimately is passionate about the task at hand, would look at this and have a difficult day today. And I will tell you, I believe that's accurate with Brian. He was helpful with me on Masai. He was helpful with Masai at convincing him to come here. He clearly understands that as the president and GM of basketball operations, Masai is going to make his own decisions, pave his own path, and report to me directly. Masai has gone out and already begun to build his new staff, and we've spent the last 2 or 3 days recruiting, and I think all of that's going to get done here in the next couple of days, and the staff is going to be phenomenal. We are going to put together one of the best staffs in the NBA. And Brian hasn't been part of that, so I know that's hard. The dysfunction that people talk about is probably more chatter than it is reality, but certainly the frustration and the feelings with Brian and your thoughts as to this being a tough day are accurate, and I wouldn't expect anything else from Brian. He's a proud man. He feels like he wasn't allowed to finish the task, and he's disappointed that he didn't deliver the championship that I think he wanted to deliver here. But I think he's going to be a part of that in a different role. I think in time, the task that we're asking him to jump into, he will understand are critical, important, all-encompassing, and just as important to the culture of this organization is Masai and the direction he's going in on the basketball side. And the challenge for me will be to create the challenge for Brian every day and make sure he looks forward to coming into the office. But let's acknowledge that anybody that's good at what they do, and Brian is good at what he does, I think today's a disappointing day because I think he would have preferred not to go through this process.
Tim Leiweke here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Score Television Network. Tim, if you'll allow me, I just want to go through some housekeeping items that may or may not have been brought up today and get your take, considering you will also have a hand in some of these. I was interested in Masai's characterization of conversations with Dwayne Casey in terms of philosophy. Tim, I think we can all acknowledge what Dwayne Casey's philosophy is as a coach. He's a defensive guy. He ran that defensive system with the Mavs and had great success, and that ideally is what he would like to do with his teams. How is that different from what Masai and yourself want to do?
Well, I think it's what Masai wants to do. So just so we make sure, I think it's important people understand the roles and the responsibilities. So Masai has an organization he wants to put together. He's kind of, you know, again, like we did, where we said, hey, if we're going to do this, let's go find the best one out there, and the best one is the NBA Executive of the Year. He's doing the exact same with the rest of his staff. We are aiming high for the people that we want to bring here, and it is a very good group of basketball executives that we are trying to recruit and bring here in short order, and I'm helping him with that, his direction, and then I go in and do anything I can to help. The relationship between him and the coach, the decision to bring the coach back, the decision as to the style of play, that's 100% Masai, and I trust him. I believe that it is not lost on Masai that 2 years ago, Coach Casey did an excellent job on the defensive scheme here. And last year, we tended to get away from that. And there was philosophical differences as to the style of play. And thus what happened is it was hard to define the style of play, the culture, and exactly what the Raptors were trying to emulate within the NBA when they played. I don't think that's going to happen this year. And it's going to be spoken with one voice, and it's going to be Masai's. And Masai's going to set the tone for the relationship with the coach. He's going to set the tone for the kind of personality we want this team to take on. And I am going to back him 100%. But I also know success will come with one master, and he's it.
When would you like the coaching situation to be clarified?
The other thing I've learned about Masai in building our, you know, we announced him today, but we worked through the weekend and yesterday and today on recruiting. And I love the fact that him and I had a chance to sit down on Saturday. We went through the org chart. He made the decisions he wanted to make. I helped him with the conversations, the tough conversations we had to have with the people here. Then he identified who he was going after. He gave me my call sheet. He told me to go fetch, and I went and ran. And like Jerry Maguire, I got in the living room and tried to recruit and make people understand the uniqueness of the culture that we're going to try to ingrain here with the Raptors and the commitment we have to giving them the resources to be successful. I am really amazed at how quickly he figured all of this out. he ultimately made a decision as to the kind of organization he wants to build, the people he wants to build that with. And the one thing I can absolutely guarantee you is he is very driven. He completely understands what we need to do here. And this will not be, hey, I need a year to learn the job. We are getting done what we need to do for this organization right now.
Tim, you've also spoken at various times about rebranding and giving this team a new image. And I'm going to go another way on it. There is a guy on your roster right now who I believe has been hurting the image of this team for many years for a variety of reasons, and it's Andrea Bargnani. And from an imaging standpoint, I think it's undeniable. I think this guy has been a cloud over the organization for whatever reason. And every day that he's on the roster, I think it's a problem for this team. What are your thoughts on the guy, and what would you like to see done?
Again, I'm very happy that I have a president and GM here who's responsible for that process and that decision. It is certainly not lost to him, nor is it lost on me, that we have a first pick in the first round of the draft that has not lived up to expectation. That said, Masai reminds me that the one thing we need to do a better job here of is whoever and whatever assets that we're going to utilize to go out and get the pieces we need to become a better organization, you certainly hope those assets are appraised at a very high value. And so task number one is we're not going to go out and ultimately say anything bad about any asset we have, because our goal in life now is if there are assets that we need to move, we want to maximize the value of those assets in order to get back as much as we possibly can. And so you're just, whether it be myself or Masai, I think one thing you'll hear and see out in this organization is we do not live in denial. We do not have our head in a hole here, and we are not going to go create unrealistic expectations. But when it comes to our resources and our assets, we're going to stay high, because we know that we need pieces here. And in order to get some of the pieces that we need, we have to create as high a value as we possibly can for some things that we currently own.
Tim, without saying them publicly, and I understand the stance you want to take in terms of your assets, have you and Masai had any discussions on anyone on this roster who you deem untouchable?
I think what Masai and I have talked about is, before we lock in on a philosophy, there's probably three directions he could go in with this organization, this current roster. One is a complete rebuild, which means tank it, try to go get the best draft picks we can next year, and what is an extraordinarily good draft, and hope that we get some luck in the lottery. And have, by the way, a lot of pieces, not just a pick. You're going to need a bunch of picks here. The second way is you come along and say there's a gigantic master trade that we can do today that gets us another piece or two that with our existing pieces suddenly means that we're competitive and we got a shot to be something more than a fringe team. And the third way to go is a combination of those two, and you build on the fly. He hasn't made that decision yet. We've talked about all three in depth. We've talked about the trials and tribulations of all three in depth. We've talked about what resources he needs in all three cases. And what I've made very clear to him is I will support him whichever one of those directions he chooses to go in. But it's important for him to meet the coach, to talk to the players, and to assess what we currently have before he goes off and makes a recommendation to us. And before he ultimately makes a decision about what direction he wants to go in. So I would tell you, this will, again, it won't take him long. He already has talked to a few of the players. He will get most of that done here, if not all of that done in the next week. Him and the coach have talked. They're going to meet again in person. So he's engaged, and I expect that we're going to have a pretty good idea of direction here in the next 2 weeks. That will coincide when the rest of the troops get here, and we have our staff in place. And the one thing I'll tell you is I think it's time for this organization to put up, to show action, to make decisions, to bring in resources, where people look at us suddenly and say, well, give them credit. They aspired to find the best GM they could, and they got the NBA Executive of the Year. The other four or five positions they're filling, they went out and found the best people in the industry and convinced them to come here. And I think by building a great organization and making sure that we're all on the same page and we communicate, what people are going to see is by the time the draft rolls around, we not only are going to have a plan and a direction that we all agree on and we're committed to, but we're going to have the people necessary to give us the best chance to implement that plan.
Tim, there was a moment with Masai today, and he just mentioned it quickly, but he mentioned the young Canadian basketball talent that's coming up and making names in NCAA, and there's one kid specifically going into a first year. How important is it in your big picture idea, not only from a competitive standpoint, but from a branding standpoint, that this team become a lot more Canadian?
A lot. Look, if we win, we'll be very Canadian. I think all aspects of the country will love us, and we'll have 36 million fans, many of them new. And so we understand that winning cures everything, and the easiest way to brand this team as Canada's team is if you're holding the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That said, whether it be the colors, whether it be the brand, whether it be where we play our games, whether it be where we broadcast our games, whether it be where we do training camp, where we create three-on-three tournaments, where we recruit, and where we build the game of basketball, Brian, who is very involved in Canada basketball, and Masai, who's very knowledgeable about these kids and has been very active and stayed involved in Canada basketball, and this organization are going to take a leading role at continuing to develop the sport, because we are now seeing in 2014 and 2013 a number of very good kids that are coming out and being drafted that are coming from Canada. And would we like ultimately to have some of those players on this squad? Yes, it would make our life much easier as we go out and try to build Canada's team. But we understand, first and foremost, you pick the best player, you get the pieces you need to win, and when we win championships, we will be draped in that flag.
Tim, appreciate it. I know it's a big day for you, and this is the most unique Tim and Sid segment I've ever done with Sid Sixero and Tim Leiwicki.
Okay, tell Tim that, and tell him if things don't work well for me, I'm shooting for him.